Well, good morning. Well, we just listened to that parable, and it's a well-known parable. Everybody seems to know it. Even my old boss knew that parable. John Bailey knew that parable. And in the context that I had booked Christmas Eve off as a day's holiday, he then decided to give everybody else who hadn't booked his holiday the Christmas Eve off. So I went and asked him, well, does that mean then that I've got an extra day's holiday to use? He went, no. And I went, is that fair? And he said, I thought you knew your Bible. It's surely up to the boss to decide to be generous or not. It's certainly up to me to decide if I want, for the goodness of my heart, give some staff a day's holiday. The fact you'd only booked it, John, that's just how it is. I'm really surprised. I thought you knew your Bible better than that. And this parable tells us that the people who started early in the day and those who had worked just 1 hour got the same. So it really is down to me what I decide. I had no answer for him but to accept what he said. And you see, Jesus told this parable not as a contract or how to deal in business relations. He told this parable for a very serious reason. Now, traditionally, people interpret the parable this way. It doesn't matter when you become born again. It doesn't matter when you become a believer. Whether you become a believer at an early age, or whether you become a believer, shall we say, on your deathbed, like the thief on the cross, the reward, the wage, if you like, is the same. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, adoption, the family, eternity with God. So traditionally, it has been interpreted that way because it fits, doesn't it? It doesn't matter when you become a believer, whether you've been a believer for many, many years, or just for a few seconds, the wage, the reward is the same. And traditionally, that's how this parable has been explained, because it fits. It shows the grace of God. It shows that God, how God deals with people. But then again, it kind of doesn't fit. Because Jesus is making a point, and he's talking about people working in the vineyard. And as we looked at this, did you notice there were five groups of people all entering the vineyard at different times? And only those who started at 6 o'clock in the morning had an agreement of payment. Did you notice what it said for the rest of the group? Those who were employed at 9 o'clock, 12 noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock, they were told that they would get paid whatever was right. So they trusted the owner. They trusted him to pay them whatever was right. They didn't have an agreement. So I'm going to put this parable slightly different this morning, and I'm going to look at the parable as talking about working in the vineyard. And I'm saying that Jesus is not primarily talking about salvation. He is talking about his people. Because it started, the very first thing he said was that the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. So he's talking about his kingdom. He's talking about his followers. He's talking about his believers. He's not primarily, I believe, mentioning salvation. He's talking about working in the vineyard. And as I looked at the parable this week and thought about it, and I saw something different. And now, these headings are a bit wordy. The points are a bit long. I've tried to make them simpler, but I couldn't. And as I looked at it, I saw it's never too late to start working in the vineyard. God will bless and reward us for how we serve him, however he chooses. We shouldn't keep a record of what we've done and think we can then twist his arm for him to reward and bless us. But God will reward and bless everyone who works in the vineyard, no matter how long they've worked for. Because what Jesus is talking about is how people who follow him have this idea of what's fair and what is just. It seems to be built into us from children, this idea of fairness and justice. I can remember being one of eight kids looking at a Sunday lunch and thinking, he's got one more roast potato than me. That's not fair. That's not right. They've got an extra slice of bread. And if someone got an extra Yorkshire pudding, wow, we thought Third World War was about to happen. Because we had this thing, what was fair and what was just, and that everyone should be treated equally. But Jesus is actually saying that's not how it is in his kingdom. That's not how it is. And he's talking about Christians, and he's actually talking about, I believe, those who have been Christians the longest, to guard against this idea of fairness and justice. Because they grumbled against the landowner. They murmured against him. It's not fair. They couldn't believe it. Can you imagine? Just imagine this. They had worked 12 hours. There's others who worked for 1 hour. And those who worked 1 hour got paid first. And they got a day's wage. Let's say they got £120, because that's the agreement that they had, £120. And they didn't work 1 hour. Well, they worked 12, and they were quickly thinking, wow, what 12 times 120? That's what's right for hours. That's the just payment for us. If they can get 120 for 1 hour, and then those who were 3 hours also got 120. So they were thinking, well, we can't work it out now, it's getting a bit complicated. But surely we work the most, so we should get the most. Can you imagine their shock, their horror, their feeling of injustice and unfairness when they too got £120? Jesus is saying, my Father treats those who work in the vineyard as he pleases, as he chooses, and you have to guard against this feeling of resentment, envy, jealousy, and thinking that God doesn't know what he's doing and God is unfair. What do I mean? Well, sometimes people might be new in the faith and suddenly God anoints and blesses them and you think, well, hold on a second. I've sacrificed so much. I've done so much. How come I'm not getting the anointing? How come I'm not getting blessed? How come this? Why, God, have you given them more than what you've given me? And Jesus is saying, that's not how we should think. It's up to God how he blesses. It's up to God how he anoints. It has nothing to do how much we sacrificed. It's got nothing to do with how much we give. It's got nothing to do with how long we have worked in the vineyard. It's got everything to do with the sovereignty and the grace of God. He gives how he chooses. And really, that's how it should be, shouldn't it? Really, that's how it should be. But I've met Christians who think God's not been fair with them. You know, they said, well, I know someone who doesn't tithe. We tithe, and how come they're getting blessed and we're not? That's the kind of thing I think Jesus is saying that we should be watching out for. We have this idea that God's justice, God's fairness is somehow the same as our idea of justice and fairness, but it isn't. I want to say God is good, and how he treats everyone is good, and it's according to his fairness, his justice, not according to our concept of justice and fairness. Have you ever thought God is unfair? Have you ever thought God doesn't treat you as he should? This is what I think Jesus is getting at. He's getting at this thought that God will deal with his people, bless them, reward them, use whatever words you want in a way that he thinks is best for you, in a way that is right for you. So, let's get to the first of all idea. It's never too late to start working in the vineyard. What do I mean by that? What do I mean? Did you know you can be saved, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit? And because no one has actually sort of mentioned it, You get involved in meetings, conferences, and you get really involved. And just like those at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you said, well, no one's actually ever hired us. No one's actually told us there's a vineyard to work in. You see, sometimes we think those who work in the vineyard are the professionals, those who get paid, or it's the elders, the deacons, the evangelists, the prophets. Are you saying we should work in the vineyard? I'm saying you can be saved, born again, and a spectator. And Jesus is saying that there are those in the kingdom who are in the marketplace, but he wants them in the vineyard. They're in the marketplace, and he wants them in the vineyard. I think that we're at the time when he's encouraging us. If we are a spectator, if we're not involved in the plans and the purposes of God, in reaching out to people, in being witnesses, ambassadors, and fishers of men, he is saying the time is now to work in the vineyard. What an invitation, what an opportunity. And he's saying, while you've got breath, it's not too late to work in the vineyard. What do I mean by working in the vineyard? Well, you see, God is wonderful, God is good, and God is grace, and I hesitate because he might ask you to work in the vineyard a different way that I haven't even thought of. It could be that he says to you, your work is prayer. He could say to another, your work is to go around talking to people. He could say to another, your work in the vineyard is going around and cutting people's lawns. I don't know what he might say your work in the vineyard is. All I'm saying this morning is that God gives an opportunity, an invitation for all of us in some aspect to work in his vineyard. And to avoid the thought of this, well, if I do this, Lord, if I work in your vineyard, what's in it for me? What do I get? Because that's how some people think. Did you know this is how Peter thought? I'll come on to Peter, but I've got ahead. I'll come on to Peter in a little bit. But you see, God chooses your work. God chooses what he wants you to do in the vineyard. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 is a well-known scripture about spiritual gifts. Right at the end, he says this, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as what? Just as he determines, just as he chooses. What I'm saying is that there's a work in the vineyard for you. There's a work in the vineyard for me. There's a work in the vineyard that only you can do. There's a work in the vineyard that only me can do. The trouble is that sometimes his followers, his believers, are so used to being in the marketplace. They like it in the marketplace. There's no call on their lives. It says they're in the marketplace doing nothing. They weren't doing anything that was impacting the work in the vineyard. You're still saved. You're still a believer. You'll still spend eternity with the Father, but you can be in the marketplace. And my question this morning is this, are we in the marketplace? Or are we in the vineyard? Jesus wants us in the vineyard. And it almost seems as this parable, he calls us at different times in our Christian life to work in the vineyard. But I think as we watch world events in Afghanistan and the floods and the fires and the earthquake and the extreme weather, Jesus is coming soon. So I think that we could say globally we're in the 11th hour, and therefore we all need to be working in the vineyard. He's calling each and every one of us. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. God's heart is to bless. He is a generous God. And it's not dependent on how long we have worked in his vineyard. You see, it's never too late to receive power from the Holy Spirit, to be his witness, to be his workers. Isn't it a sad truth that many of his followers never experienced work in his vineyard? All they experienced was the marketplace. And Jesus says, come and work in my vineyard. The harvest is plentiful. Where are the workers? Where are the laborers? Where are those that are called to be fishers of men? Where are my ambassadors? You see, I don't think this parable is about salvation. It's about encouraging us to ask God what our job is in his vineyard. And I can't tell you what that is. I can't tell you what gifts he gives you, what power he gives you. I've got a sense that one or two, it might be your work is prayer. Warriors in prayer. And that could be your work in the vineyard. I just sense that one or two, that's what he's saying. That your work is prayer. That's what you devote yourself to. It's a special intercessory prayer. For some, it could be more practical. The trouble is, we think spiritual, practical. But your work in the vineyard, as I've also said, could be helping people get in their prescriptions and their shopping. That could be your work in the vineyard. Do you see what I'm saying? It's varied and it's big and it's wide. You see, there's a lot of false teaching around, isn't there, that says give more to get more. Commit more, go to more services, God will bless you more. This parable says that's wrong thinking. Peter says, I got it now, Matthew 19:27. Peter said, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be in it for us? Peter wanted to know his reward, his wage. Peter wanted to know that if they left everything to follow him, sacrificed everything, what would be in it for them? What will they receive? What blessing would they get? And Jesus is saying, we work in the vineyard because we love him and we want to worship him. And we do it even if there was no blessing, even if there was no reward. We just do it. That's what God's asking us to do. He says, work in the vineyard. Find out your place in the body of Christ. Find out what it is that I've empowered you to do and just do it. And if you're in the marketplace, don't be in the marketplace anymore. And get your idea of God, that God is God. And don't put our human ideas of justice and fairness on him. We have to, if we haven't already, just realize that God blesses us and rewards us however he chooses, whatever is right. He's good, he's fair, he's just. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You see, the way he rewards and blesses is not based on our sacrifice. The way he rewards and blesses is not based on how long we've worked in the vineyard. The way he blesses and rewards is not based on what we've done for him. It's based on his grace and how he chooses to bless us and reward us. You know, some people get this idea that, you know, if they've been a Christian for so long and they've sacrificed so much and done so much, then God should make them rich and healthy and all the rest. And this parable says that thinking is not the way we should think. You know, when we first become a believer, you know, we have such joy and such enthusiasm. And I think Jesus is actually just warning us that sometimes as the years pass, we think God owes us one. And I've met people like this, that they think God should somehow treat them differently to everyone else. And when a new believer somehow gets a better anointing, a better blessing, they think is unfair and not just. This is what the parable, I think, is all about. Remember the Pharisees, the hypocrites? They want to do everything in public. They want to show off. Jesus said they have their reward. Jesus is not looking for people to brag or boast. He's looking for people who just get on with it. He's looking for people who just do what he's asked them to do. He's looking for people who empowered by the Spirit, work in the vineyard, not to receive blessings or rewards, but just to do it as an honor and a worship to him. That's why he says the last will be first and the first will be last. You see, it's not equal pay for equal work. God is not interested in your hours. He wants your heart. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to trust him with a free heart, a joyful heart, an open heart. It's all about how we serve him. You know, it's almost that sometimes we think the marketplace is a safer, better place to be because there's no hard work involved. There's no attacks involved. There's nothing happening. He says you're doing nothing in the marketplace. There's nothing going on. It's dead, really. You can be. And I think this morning the question so hard is, are we in the marketplace or are we in the vineyard? And I believe he wants us in the vineyard. You see, the lesson, another lesson from this parable is not to keep a record of what we've done and then think we can use it against God to reward and bless us. Let me put it this way. Sometimes when we have a prayer need, or something in our lives is not going right, or something in our lives is difficult and harsh, we remind God sometimes of what we've done for him. We remind God of how we've served him. Well, you might not, but I know people who have. And they don't understand how their years of sacrifice, how their years of serving him means that they're not getting what they think they deserve, because they think that they should be getting what they deserve based on how they work in the vineyard. And Jesus is saying it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You see, those who started at 6 o'clock in the morning, while the others were getting paid, they were working out how many hours they'd worked. They'd worked out. They'd suddenly worked out how many hours they'd been. They were making a record of what they'd done. And when they only got the same, they said, hold on, we've worked it out. Then we worked 1 hour, 3 hours, or 6 hours. We've done 12 hours. And Jesus is saying, that our God is a fair God. That owner said, I have not treated you unfairly. And what I think Jesus is trying to get across in this parable is the thing that we started with, that God is good. He is a good God, and he will only treat us fairly and justly. But it's his idea of fairness. It's his idea of justice. They weren't really working for their master. They were showing they're working for themselves. They were in it for what they could get. And Jesus also said that's not how to work in the vineyard. You know, I worked in a fish and chip shop in Norwich, and they changed the way I worked and how I got paid. I used to get paid the same every week. No matter how many hours I worked, I got paid the same. Then the owners realized that in the summer, I worked a lot less hours because the new potatoes didn't need so much work on them. I mean, they didn't take so much peeling. There wasn't so many eyes to take out. And so they said, well, from now on, John, we can actually pay you the actual hours you work. We think this is fair. We think it's just so in the winter periods, you'll get paid a bit more. In the summer, you know, when we have any holidays and that, you'll get paid a lot less. So guess what? My attitude changed. In the summer, I made sure what time I started and I made sure what time I finished. It was almost like I had stopped working for them and I started to work for what I was receiving. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That's not the way we work in his vineyard. We don't work for ourselves. We don't work for what we receive. We work to bless him. We work to honor him. We work to glorify him. Yes, a side product is that we get blessed and other people get blessed. But that's not our motivation. That's not the attitude that he wants to see from us. You see, it says in Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. What does that mean? It just means this. God treats us all the same. Doesn't matter how much good or how little good you do. It's up to God how he blesses. It's up to God how he rewards. As followers of Jesus, we should work for him, be concerned for his plan, be concerned for his purposes, and not what blessing or rewards we deserve. He will reward, he will bless. And it's not depending on the hours we put in, but on him always doing what is right and good. Yes, we should, in a sense, put the hours in, but never keep a record and say to God, look what I've done, now what's in it for me? Look what I've done, why aren't you blessing me? Jesus is looking for those who want to work in his vineyard. There are many people who live in the Spirit, they walk in the Spirit. And it's a natural thing they're doing. I want to say, actually, it's not come across, that working in the vineyard is natural. It's almost we do it without thinking, not realizing that's what we're doing. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be involved in his kingdom. He wants us to be involved in fishing for men. He wants us to be involved in witnessing. He wants us to be empowered by his Holy Spirit. But it should come naturally to us by his Spirit. And then when we realize that, we're not totting things up. So let's finish on a kind of a positive. God rewards and blesses everyone who works in the vineyard. Now, I've said that shouldn't be our reason for doing it, shouldn't be our attitude, but it's this parable says that's going to happen. It will happen. It says in that parable, take your pay and go. I want to give the man who is hired last the same as I gave those who started first. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? He's a generous God. He's a fair God, he's a good God, and he's a just God. I won't go into it, but the prodigal son teaches the same thing. That older brother thought it wasn't fair that the younger brother was so readily accepted by the father. It's the same in the same thought of God not being fair, God not being just. And really, I think Jesus wants us to realize and get into our hearts that God's justice, God's fairness, God's blessings, God's rewards, God's anointings are his business. And we should just go along with it and say, wow, what a wonderful, good God we have. You know, I am surprised that Christians have been Christians for a long time, never really had much problems in their Christian life, suddenly can get jealousy and unfairness creeps in when they see someone getting blessed by God. And it's a surprise when it happens, but it has happened. So don't worry or get upset and think God's not fair or just. Don't worry if God is blessing someone more than he's blessing you. Don't get jealousy. Because jealousy makes us not thankful. And being not thankful makes us pity ourselves. And if we're pitying ourselves, then we'll get bitter and more jealous and more envious. We need to thank God for what he's done. And we mustn't drive bargains with God by saying, look what we've done, now you must give us something. We're going to be much happier in this life if we take our eyes off our brothers and sisters and pull our eyes on Jesus Christ. And be grateful for what he does. Isn't that really the essence of this parable? Maybe you are identified with the workers who grumbled, and maybe you are identified thinking, well, it wasn't really fair, was it? It wasn't just. Maybe we should identify with the owner who was gracious, loving, kind, and just wanted to bless those who only just worked an hour. You see, if God just blesses us and anoints us based on what we've done, based on the hours we put in, we'd be doing everything for the wrong reasons. We would then really be thinking the hours means blessing, the hours means anointing. And that's the kind of thinking Jesus doesn't want us to have. He doesn't want us to focus on what we do and how we work for God and how we sacrifice for God. God wants us to be focused totally on Him, to work in the vineyard. You see, God isn't really impressed by our achievements. The workers did no more than they were asked to do. The landowner gave them work. They did not merit any more money. They just got what was promised. They weren't cheated. They had no reason to brag that the owner owed them something more. And instead of complaining, they just said, thank you. Thank you. You got what we agreed. That's the essence. And it is His business, isn't it? I really want to get this. It's His business how He anoints, how He blesses, how He rewards. So it's never too late to start work in the vineyard. God will bless and reward us for how we serve Him, whatever is right, whatever He decides. We mustn't keep a record of our work and think this will twist His arm to reward us and bless us. But God will reward and bless all those who are working in the vineyard, no matter how long, whether that be in this life or in eternity. God is good, and He is good all the time in how He deals, rewards, blesses, and anoints His people. Amen.